We're back. Michael Cohen, 1320 WILS. Imagine being lost at sea. If that's not scary enough, imagine being lost at sea for 14 months and surviving. That is exactly what happened to a man named Salvador, and it's detailed in the brand new book, 438 Days, An Extraordinary True Story of Survival at Sea. Jonathan Franklin is the author. His previous book was a national bestseller, 33 Men, the story of the Chilean miners trapped underground. Jonathan, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you very much. Yeah. It is an amazing story to think that two guys go out for a weekend fishing trip, and 14 months later, one of them washes ashore halfway around the world.
Yeah, I should know, you're actually, we're talking to you from Chile, where you're based. And how did you first hear about this story yourself?
Well, when Salvador Alvarenga washed ashore, it was January of 2014, and he had this incredible tale that he had left for Mexico. And his boat was registered in Mexico, and he was a fisherman who always worked right off the coast of Mexico. And so there was this huge controversy. Was it true? Was it not true? So I figured if it was true, it was an incredible story. And if it was a fake, that. So I just began investigating and interviewing him more than 40 times, plus lots of experts. I'm completely convinced it's true.
That it's a true story. You're coming in slightly in and out, but hopefully the connection will hold here. Tell me this, first of all, how did he come to agree to sit down with you 40 times to talk about his story?
Pretty simple. I agreed to split all the money 50-50 with him.
Oh, of the book itself?
Yep.
And where did the two of you meet and talk then?
In El Salvador, where he's living now. We went to El Salvador, and we met there, and he could only talk about this for about 30 minutes. He would often get headaches because, you know, he was out there in the middle of the ocean trying to keep his mind, trying to keep from going crazy. Uh-huh. You know, 14 months is a long time to be in solitary existence.
Oh, so you're saying he's getting headaches on a daily basis now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly, yep. Huh.
And what was he like? What was his demeanor in general? How would you describe it?
Now he's extremely happy. He's just very thankful. Very thankful
that he's alive. Okay, now first of all, we should note he wasn't alone on the boat when he left initially, right?
There was two people on the boat, but one of them starved to death. Not because there wasn't food, but because he just couldn't eat raw bird, couldn't eat raw turtle, he just could not stomach. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't a professional fisherman. He was getting seasick a lot. And when you get seasick, you obviously get dehydrated a lot faster.
Very quickly. Well, he was a professional fisherman. Is that how he ended up out there?
Yeah, he'd been fishing for almost 20 years, he had worked as a longline fisherman. So he was very experienced at sea. And 438 days basically describes how one man builds his own world out there in the middle of the ocean.
And he leaves the coast? He was in Mexico working at the time?
Yep, he went off the coast of Mexico. And, you know, they looked for him for 3 or 4 days, and then he was too far off the coast, and he just drifted. And I think anybody who reads this book just starts to think, you know, what would I do? Could I make it? Would I survive? You know, there's a lot of questions about how do you survive 14 months.
So I'm curious, for water, how was he able to hydrate himself?
Fortunately, he was drifting almost due west in the rainiest part of the planet. So there was frequent rainstorms, and he was able to keep the water in a big barrel. He had a huge barrel aboard, so he filled a big barrel with water.
And how soon after they left or that they were lost did his companion die?
About the third month, his friend died of starvation and also depression. He was just very sad.
3 months in. So then he's alone for another, 11 months or so, almost a year.
Almost, I didn't see a single human except for one time a cargo ship went by and the crew was on the back and they waved to him and then they kept on going.
And he was not able to alert them in any way?
No, they saw him. They saw him. He saw them and they waved right to him and they didn't stop. They just kept going.
Did they not realize that he was stranded out there?
Well, he was like, you know, he's in the middle of the Pacific, and he's like, did they think of it? He was very angry. He said, you know, did they think I was on a day trip?
How long into the experience did this happen?
I can't remember exactly, but I think it was about the eighth or ninth month where he saw that cargo ship. And so he was very upset by that.
So he's eating, and you said he's eating turtles and raw fish. Is that what it is?
Mainly at that point, when he's close to shore, he survives off raw turtles and raw fish. When he's out in the middle there, he's eating almost exclusively seabirds. He's catching seabirds because they land on his boat to rest. They're exhausted. They've been crossing the Pacific. They're tired. They land on his boat, and when they land on his boat, he learns how to capture them. And then some of them he eats, and some of them he keeps as pets.
With a net of some kind, or how did he do that?
No, what he did is he found a big piece of styrofoam, like the size of a mattress, and he tied it to the back of his boat. And the birds, as they're migrating, they would see the styrofoam, and they would come down and land on it. And he said if you try to catch them right away, it's impossible. But if you wait like 5 minutes, the birds start to relax, their guard goes down. They sometimes put their head in their wings to clean and preen. And so he would wait for 5 minutes, and he had a pole, like a perch. Uh-huh. And he would lay under the pole, and he would grab them off the pole by their feet. He would grab them by their feet.
Well, just with his hands. That's pretty incredible. Talking to Jonathan Franklin, the author of the brand-new book, 438 Days, An Extraordinary True Story of Survival at Sea. And how did he keep his mind from breaking apart?
Very good question, because most of us, I think, would have gone crazy. What he did is he imagined an alternative world. He imagined that he was on land. When he was eating turtle, he imagined it was steak. When he ate the seagulls, he imagined it was chicken. He kept on fantasizing that he was back on land. He would talk to the ocean. He would talk to his boat. So he kind of developed this alternative reality where he was able to create friends and characters, and that way he didn't feel so alone.
I see. Were there any moments where he thought he was going to die?
Yeah, there were some very vicious storms where he thought he was going to flip, and he was always afraid of getting separated from his boat. He would sometimes go for very short swims in the ocean, but he was always terrified that the boat might go one direction, he'd go another, and he'd be all there alone.
Now, before we talked, I just did a quick Google search. There's this million-dollar lawsuit from the family of the man who was on the boat with him, right? And they're accusing him of cannibalism, from what I see.
Right.
Did that come up when you were talking to him?
Yeah. I asked him about cannibalism, and he said, I wouldn't rule it out. But he said at the time that the guy died, he said it wasn't necessary because I had turtles and I had fish. He said that, you know, under different circumstances, he might have considered it, but he said it wasn't even an issue, because when his buddy died, he said they had some birds, they had some turtles. So he's very clear that did not happen.
I wonder, when you see a lawsuit like this, is it just all about the money then? Or?
Yeah, because even the mother of the boy who died there, even the mother came out and said the lawyer was a dirtbag who was trying to just get the money.
I see. And this is based on the money that's going to, come from the book? Is that what it is? Or?
Yeah, everybody thinks that he's a millionaire, you know, which he's not. But, you know, if they do a movie, of course they'll make some money. But no movie's been done yet. And, you know, books are nice business, but nobody's a millionaire except for Stephen King off books.
Yeah. When you're talking to him, do you get a sense that, do you think you'd be able to go through what he did and survive?
No way. No. It's one in a million. It's one, or maybe even more. I mean, there's two things that I think are really incredible. One is being able to catch your food, devise a water system so to have the food, water, shelter. Another part is keeping your mind sharp. And I think there's very few people that have the tools both to solve the problems of water, food, and shelter, and solve the problems of going completely insane out there by yourself.
Did he have a wife, children, anything like that?
Yep, and his child, good question, because it was his child that kept him alive. He was out there, and he hadn't seen his daughter in almost 10 years. He had basically left home to work and never come back, and he was feeling so guilty about being a bad dad that he promised himself that if he ever survived, he would go back and live with his daughter, which he did. So I think being a father was a big part of why he survived.
Where does he live now?
In El Salvador.
Oh, in El Salvador. That's where he was originally from.
Yeah, that's where he grew up, yep.
Is he going to go back to sea again?
Yeah, he's going, definitely. Yep, he's going to get some more money from the book. He's buying a couple boats, and he's going to go to sea.
Really? Now, what do you make
of
that?
I asked him about,
yeah.
Well, I asked him. I said, like, aren't you scared? And he said, oh, I'll just go 18 or 20 miles offshore. That way, if the boat sinks, I can swim back. I was like, dude, almost nobody can swim 18 miles. But I guess, you know, maybe you have to have an overdose of confidence to survive something like that. But he's convinced he could swim 20 miles ashore. Maybe he can. Who knows?
Yeah. How does he describe the day when he was rescued?
He was scared. He thought they were going to eat him.
He thought they were going to eat him?
Yeah, because the only thing he had heard about the South Pacific is it was filled with cannibals. So he actually thought they were going to cook him.
And so what occurred? Did a boat come up to him, or did he find land at some point?
No, he washed ashore an island, and nobody lived on that island. And he crawled around because he could barely walk. So he crawled around that island for the better part of a day and screaming. And then he heard a rooster, and the rooster was on the next island over. So he crawled down to the beach and started screaming. And there were just two people living on that island, and they swam over and saved him.
Incredible. And what did he then, did the boat land on the island, or did he see it and jump off and swim?
Yeah, the boat landed. He gave the boat as a present to that young couple that saved him. They own the boat now. It's out there. They're using it as a ferry.
That's funny. He thought they would eat him, but they did not. And then how's he dealing with all the notoriety from what occurred to him?
Oh, he loves it because he's a terrible driver, and he's always like getting pulled over by the cops. And as soon as they find out it's him, they ask for selfies. They never get the ticket.
Yeah. In South America, is he a little more famous than he is up here?
Yeah, he's kind of a celebrity. A lot of people know him.
Yeah, the pictures I saw, he looked like Tom Hanks in Castaway. Does he still?
No, not anymore. He took care of that pretty quick. He's always been clean shaven, so yeah, he's got short hair and big smile.
Did he see the movie Castaway? Is it anything?
No,
like,
he hasn't. But I should. That's a good idea. I should have gone and taken him to see that.
Well, I just wonder what he'd think. He probably looks a lot easier than what he went through.
Exactly.
Jonathan Franklin joining us from Chile, author of the brand new book, 438 Days, An Extraordinary True Story of Survival at Sea. Is anyone talking about making this into a movie?
That's my next phone call. Yeah, lots of people. I think, there's lots of interest in making a movie because it's a true story, and it's clearly positive. You know, we're all hearing these terrible stories of these nutcakes or shooting up Paris or shooting up, you know, university in Pakistan yesterday, and just every day there's some nutcase going crazy with a gun. So to actually focus on something positive, I think a lot of us are pretty excited about hearing good stories instead of all the bad
news. Story. One last thing. Is he a religious man, Santiago?
Yes and no. He doesn't go to church, but he definitely has faith, and it was his faith that was important in saving him. So it's not a formal that he prays to Jesus, but he definitely is convinced that he was saved by a higher force or a higher power, and that he is, he wants the people to believe more in God. He's closest to being Catholic, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's not once ever been in a church. But
he believes God was the reason why he survived this thing.
Exactly, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. But yeah, he definitely was, and he's very thankful. You know, he's not bitter. He's not angry. He still thanks the sea. He thanks the ocean for saving him, for carrying him. He thanks the animals for giving him food. Mm-hmm. You know, he never took any joy in killing the animals. You know, his people accuse him of being some sadist because he killed birds and killed this, but his friends told me they once took him to a cockfight to where people bet on the roosters fighting, and they said he walked out in disgust. He said it was one thing to kill an animal and eat it. He said it was another thing to watch animals bloody themselves for sport. So, he's a very thankful man.
It's an incredible story, the story of Salvador Alvarenga. The author, Jonathan Franklin, the book, 438 Days, An Extraordinary True Story of Survival at Sea. Find him at jonathanfranklin.com. Also, he's on Twitter, @FranklinBlog. Hey, Jonathan, thank you.
Thank you very much. You all have a good day.